Everyone is on.
Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Let's get it.
Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I'm super excited, as always, for our episode today. I have Kendra Plummer here, and I'm excited to catch up with her. We actually went to grad school. It feels like 100 years ago, but it wasn't too long ago, at the U. It's all about the U, University of Miami. But since then, like, I always remember in grad school, she always talked about how she wanted to be in hotel management, hotel acquisitions, anything with real estate dealing with hotels. And now she's doing it. Now she has her own firm, Elise Capital. So I'm super excited to see, you know, what's going on with her. I know she's doing a lot of amazing things. So let's do this. Hey, Kendra, how's it going?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Excited to talk to you. So let's dive right into it here. So what, I know you've been talking about this for years, and you probably one of the first people I heard, especially Black women, talking about real estate other than being a realtor. So I just want to know, what made you want to get involved in real estate, and specifically with hospitality and hotels?
Yeah, so like you said, I've been trying to do this for years, but it really started out because of my family. So my parents are from the Caribbean, with my dad's from Jamaica, my mom's side's from Barbados. So every summer we would go back to one of those islands to visit our family. And then usually like the last week of the summer was when we had like our family vacation, and we would go to some sort of hotel on the island. And that was always like my favorite part of the trip. So ever since I was a kid, I was like, oh, I want to own, you know, like a small little bed and breakfast or type of thing in Jamaica or in Barbados. So I went to Temple for hotel management and realized that I could do so much more than just the bed and breakfast, but I really could own, you know, whole hotels and make a difference so that the ownership of the hotels, whether it be in the U.S. or in the Caribbean, can also reflect, you know, different people that look like them. Like, the amount of Black hotel owners is only 2%. And after seeing those types of stats, I was like, no, I want to be able to help change this.
Cool. So you're doing it. You're definitely changing the mold. So before we talk a little bit about that, like, you've been talking about this for years, but since then, like, things like Airbnb have like had a skyrocket rise, and I know it's affected your industry. What are your thoughts on just Airbnb and how it's affected the whole hospitality industry?
Yeah, so Airbnb is kind of twofold. Like, it's great for the tourism industry as a whole, but it's definitely shaking up the hotel industry. Mm-hmm. And even though it's impacted our, you know, revenues in a pretty big way, it's also been a wake-up call for the industry. After Airbnb came, different hotel brands started realizing, like, oh, people are booking directly from a mobile app. We should, you know, get up on the technology, or people want more of a comfortable living space. So we should be doing things that make it feel like more of a community instead of a corporate hotel all the time, or all hotels being the same. So after Airbnb, you started seeing more like independent collections from the big brands, like Autograph by Marriott or Tapestry. So it really was the wake-up call for the industry, and I appreciate that part about it, because it just broadened our spectrum so much more.
Okay, cool. So back to you, how did you first really break into the industry? What was your first main experience where you were hands-on with hotels?
So I worked all through undergrad, and I figured if I was going to have to work through undergrad, I should at least be doing it in a career or industry that I'm passionate about. So my first job was as a front desk agent at a boutique hotel in Philadelphia. And I loved it. I was like, oh, this is so fun. Like, you get to meet people from all around the world, really, and just really make their stay in Philly feel unique and special to them. So I liked being able to have that hospitality aspect of making people feel welcome in a city that they may not have been to before, or someplace that they come all the time. But that was my first experience in the hotel operation side of the industry.
Mm-hmm. And then what about once you jumped to, you know, big boss, once you started working with acquisitions and asset management, how was that transition?
It was really exciting, and the operations background that I had really helped. But my first role was actually coming out of University of Miami. So I entered into a position where they're a real estate development company, but part of their portfolio is hotels. So we were just out seeking different locations, doing the whole feasibility, deciding what type of hotel would be best for that area, and then getting it built and getting it open. Mm-hmm. So doing the whole process from start to finish.
Okay. So for somebody that is interested in kind of pursuing this field, how would you say that hotel acquisitions and asset management is different from like regular multifamily asset management acquisition?
Sure. So the big difference, and probably the best benefit of hotels in comparison to your traditional commercial real estate assets, is that hotels are done by nightly leases, not monthly. So usually in office or multifamily, like, you get someone into your apartment and they've signed that same rent, and it's a fixed rent for an entire 12 months, 15 months, whatever their lease may be. In a hotel, you have the opportunity to have more dynamic revenues. So you're able to change what your price that you're selling a room for is going to be every single day, sometimes even multiple times a day. So when there's areas of more high demand, like for example, in Atlanta, 2 years ago was the Super Bowl. During those times, you're able to charge, you know, much more in your nightly rate, or average daily rate is what we call it. So you're able to have more fixed and fluctuating revenues that really allow you to control what's going on with the market and price according to that, instead of just having a fixed rate the whole time.
And what about, I guess, the flip side of that? Like, you can get much more revenue, but what about the overhead and everything with the hotels?
Yeah, so the overhead kind of works the same too. Like, a lot of the positions in hotels are based on how many rooms we plan on selling that day. Because most of your overhead is going to come from different operating departments of hourly workers. So if there is going to be a large amount of rooms that you plan to have occupied that day, then you staff accordingly. If there's not going to be as much, then you staff based on that. So having a good revenue management team and just overall hotel management team in place is going to be key when you're investing in a hotel, because you really want to make sure that your costs aren't exceeding your revenue so that you have a profit.
Okay. All right. So you had great experiences working for other firms, but then you decided to jump out on your own with Elise Capital. So can you tell us about, you know, what was that experience like? Why did you decide to, you know, this was the time now to go out on your own, and how has it been so far?
Sure. So Elise Capital is a hotel investment firm, and our mission and purpose is really to get more minorities and women into ownership by educating and also providing opportunities to invest. So while I've been working previously for, you know, various private equity firms, I really realized that the ownership opportunities were staying within the same pool every time, and that pool looks exactly the same. So I wanted to get out there and create my own firm that would allow other types of people to have this opportunity to invest in hotels and generate wealth that way. That way, you know, we're diversifying the industry, giving people opportunities to close on that huge racial and gender wealth gap that we have today. And one of the ways that we can do that is through investing in hotel real estate.
That's amazing. And, you know, that's what I'm all about, especially with this podcast. So, you know, we got to talk about, you know, since you've been in this industry so far and you've seen it, that's one of the reasons that you started your firm. But what's been some of the challenges that you've experienced being a woman of color in the industry?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge is just finding a mentor. Usually with mentors, it's about who you relate with. And it's very hard to find someone to relate with me if everyone is, you know, 30 years older than me. They're typically white men. So it's just a whole different, you know, relationship that we would have. So it's not as easy to form those types of business relationships where, you know, there's something that you can relate to and they find you trusting because they're like, oh yeah, I've had that same type of experience. And, you know, I know what you're going through. So because of that, I see you in me and I feel trustworthy with you. So that's not something that typically happens while I've been on the hotel ownership side. So I would say that's the hardest challenge, is just being able to have that mentor and sponsor. Because when it comes to lending and finding deals, if you're a first timer, you need someone who's going to be able to vouch for you, and that person has to have a track record already. So having that mentor, sponsor, and advocate for you is extremely important, getting your first couple of deals done.
For sure. So that's a good segue. So let's talk about some deals. Like, what are some or one particular deal, maybe the most recent one you worked on, or something noteworthy, the experience was somehow, like, you know, like I said, noteworthy, and you want to talk about a deal?
Ooh, I've done so many exciting deals. I think my favorite deal that I did was actually in a Key in Belize. And what we were designing there was a resort type of property that had, you know, over the water bungalow villas. And I really liked doing that type of project because it was so different than doing, you know, like a 150 room Marriott that's just a 6-story structure. It's like we're having, you know, the structure, and then we're also trying to figure out, well, what type of architectural designs can we do over water? And, you know, how do we let people access that? So it just came with a lot of different characteristics that aren't normal when you're doing a city project. So I liked being able to do that, have the creativity, figure out how can we be eco-friendly, or how can we also make sure that this development that we're creating provides the right types of jobs and influences the economy of this small town that we're building in.
Yes, Belize, man. Look, when all this is over, this crazy COVID stuff, definitely we're going to be out there. Is it the project done now, or is it still in the works?
The project's done. So that was exciting, but it took a while, you know, back and forth. There's always issues that come with the funding, and so that we can get it done. So the construction took longer than expected, but they got it done. So I'm happy for them.
And what was the total, I guess, amount of the whole project once said and done? What was the cost?
Yeah, the total project cost was $112 million.
Okay, that actually doesn't seem that bad for a resort. How many rooms?
75. So they had, how much was it? They had 60 rooms in the actual hotel part. And then in the villas, there were 15.
Okay. Yeah, girl, man, we out when this corona is over. So how was that experience, or how is building and developing outside of the United States differ from being in the U.S.?
It's very different because the U.S. kind of has things already, you know, in a good production line system. So things are moving very fast. Like if you ordered something incorrectly, it's pretty easy to, you know, go and find the next thing either by calling the representative of the seller or manufacturer. Usually, you know, we have like a lot of different warehouses where just different parts and pieces that you might need are already here in the US. So you don't have mm-hmm. to wait, you know, a few more weeks for it to be shipped from another country. So that was kind of the reason why the project took longer than expected, just because we are in a very remote part of Belize. So it wasn't even just getting the manufactured items to Belize. It's okay, now how do we get it to this remote location where there's no airport, or the airport is kind of further, you know, down. So it's with like the trucking, maybe the roads aren't as big as in the main city. So things of that sort were a little bit different in the process. But other than mm-hmm. that, things really worked pretty similarly. But I think that that country already works similarly to the US structure. So just being a Western country, their systems and way of doing things, you know, we all speak the same language. So it just, that part of it was easier than maybe if we were doing it somewhere that had a completely different culture.
Okay. So any other plans, any other projects in the works for like in Europe or Asia or Africa or anywhere just, you know, outside of the Americas?
Not right now. I mean, even due to COVID, you know, the industry is kind of shaken differently. So currently with Elise Capital, we're focused on investing domestically, and we'll grow to investing internationally further down the line.
Okay, cool. And I'm glad you brought that up about COVID, because, you know, I want to talk about like what are some things that have kind of shaken up your business. Obviously the hospitality industry as a whole has been shaken up, like you said. So how has that experience been for you?
Yeah, the first few months were pretty rough. And, you know, I feel for everyone who's in the field on the operations side, working in hotels, because a lot of hotels did have to close for either a month, or some are still closed right now. But it's coming back. And from the investment side, though, this is an exciting time for me, because this is the time that we should be getting ready, because a lot of, you know, distressed assets are going to be coming on the market in a few months. So this is the time where we really make sure our structures are in place, make sure we have capital raised, make sure we have those brand and lender partnerships, so that when these deals do start coming back, it's going to be highly competitive, but it's going to be a great opportunity to capitalize on a downturn, which, you know, you always want to be able to be in a good position to get the best value for the deals that you're investing in.
Right. So it's a great time to be learning, like you said, stacking up, getting all your ducks in a row. And I know you said within your business, like you strive to kind of teach other people how to own hotels, how to show them how to raise capital. Can you just talk a little bit about what that process has been looking like for you guys?
Yeah, so we have done a few different webinars, which we'll be doing another one next quarter, that's just going to walk people through the entire hotel acquisition process from start to finish, really in depth. So it's kind of almost like a lecture or a serious seminar to have your notes and things ready, just so that people can be prepared and know what to look for when they're investing or even developing their own hotel. And then we also have an online school called Crash Course in Hotel Ownership, where we have several different courses for people to really dive into each segment of the investment process. So there's a course on the whole process, there's a course on how do you raise capital, there's a course on how do you evaluate a deal. So that's how we're going about our education route. And when more deals start coming up and we're bringing more investors in, then we'll be doing a lot of one-on-one walking through the process, being very transparent in how our deals work.
Okay. And in terms of the investors that you're soliciting, do they have to be accredited, or are you doing more of like a crowdsourcing type of model?
Good question. That was another barrier that I realized with a lot of other different firms is they're only looking for accredited investors, and accredited just means, you know, that you have the net income of $200,000 a year or a net worth, I think it's of $1 million. So I am not doing the accredited requirement, but it's a limited amount of people who can be unaccredited for this particular fund. But I wanted it to be open to more people being able to invest so that unaccredited isn't a requirement, but being a sophisticated investor is, which just means that, you know, you've probably taken a course on investments, or, you know, you can talk with someone, which is what Elise Capital does as well, is that will educate you to become a sophisticated investor for hotel real estate.
Okay, I'm definitely excited to hear more about that. You know, I'm always about that, investing in different things, and this is also, this is amazing, interesting, so cool. All right, so I guess what are some other projects that you guys have coming up? Anything special for you outside of the business coming up soon?
Yeah, so within the business, coming up is, you know, just as you mentioned, getting those deals done. And what we're really looking at right now is value add opportunities. So these are hotels that maybe it was a Radisson or Ramada, and we go in, do an entire renovation and conversion and upgrade the hotel to something like a Marriott or a DoubleTree or something that's a more premium brand in comparison. So I'm really excited to be getting into those types of opportunities. So it's almost like people who, you know, go in and flip a house and really renovate it to its full capacity to reach a new market. We're doing the same things with hotels. It's just a longer hold period and higher return on your investment.
Cool. And what types of returns are you usually expecting when you do a kind of flip or value add project like that?
Yeah, so we go by three metrics, which is internal rate of return, and then an equity multiple, as well as cash on cash return. So usually for these types of deals, you can be seeing anything from 20 to 28 or 30% IRR. Cash on cash can be somewhere from 10 to 16%. And the equity multiples are really where the numbers jump from like 2 to 4% or 2 to 4 times the equity that you put in. So it's great returns if you do it correctly. And of course, do it for the lowest cost possible while still having a great product. So you really have to do, you know, your feasibility analysis, figuring out what type of brand or what type of new hotel would be best for that market.
Cool. And what do you think about some of these smaller boutique hotels? Like, I know that's becoming a wave, like Aloft is one that comes to mind off the top of my head. What do you think about those kind of smaller ones that are starting to kind of jump on the scene?
I love it. I think that, you know, we are having a lot of new brands come out every year, like Marriott, Hilton, they're smaller brands. It's like every conference, there's a new brand that's coming out. And I think that it's another way for these major brands to really diversify and cater to a lot of different segments. Before, people thought that the only types of travelers were either people traveling for work or people traveling just for fun, but they didn't, and those were the reasons why people travel, but they never were thinking in a marketing perspective of what do these types of people like when they travel or what makes them feel comfortable. So now with these different types of brands, you know, there's something for everybody. And instead of deterring people from staying in a hotel and just staying at their friend's house or something like that because a hotel isn't catering to their needs, now there is a hotel that caters to that, or now there is a hotel where maybe someone local isn't even staying as a guest, but you know, they're going to the restaurant or they're using the pool. So there's just a lot of different ways to diversify with these brands. So it's good on that front, but from a development perspective, you also want to be careful that there's not too many similar brands in that area, because mm-hmm. you don't want to have to be competing with everybody.
For sure. So in general, what are you see, like, what's your outlook for the industry and hotels going forward?
Yeah, so we're in a slower recovery mode, which makes it a great time to be doing the types of value-add renovations that I'm doing, because usually, you know, they can take anywhere from 8 to 16 months to really do the full renovation, depending on how extensive it is. And the full industry probably won't be back until the end of next year, or even in, you know, Q1 2022. That's being aggressive. So it's a perfect time during these slow times to do a large renovation that usually would be disruptive and have, you know, not as many guests come. So, you know, you might as well do these big types of projects while your hotel is pretty much empty. Because usually, on average in the US, you know, hotel occupancy is around 68 to 72%. And during COVID, people have been getting excited if they reach 35%. Wow. So it's a huge drop in our industry, which, you know, again, makes it a good time to capitalize on these types of value add investments.
For sure. That definitely makes sense. While everything is kind of slow and lulling, you are getting ready for when that pent up demand comes back and people are like rushing out to travel. So makes a lot of sense. So as somebody, specifically as somebody of color that wants to jump in this industry and get involved, besides coming, you know, dealing with you and getting under your tutelage, what are some other maybe organizations or pathways that they can get involved in this industry?
Yeah, there's a couple different associations. There's the Asian American Hotel Owners Association, where you don't have to be Asian to join. I'm in that organization. and, you know, they provide a lot of great educational materials. So different webinars and things that are accessible. They also have a certified hotel owners school. So I did that program during COVID because I'm like, oh, I have some time now. And, you know, they have a lot of great online classes in that. There's the National Association of Black Hotel Owners, Operators, and Developers, or also known as NABHOOD. They actually have a conference, I think it's coming up at the end of this month, that they're doing virtually. But all of these different types of organizations are here to help people become first-time hotel owners. So it's either by providing support or relationships. And a lot of real estate development is all about the relationship. You need a team when you're building a development hotel or even getting into investment. So what you need is an asset manager. You need a hotel manager, which is a management group, or it could even be part of the brand. You need an attorney, and then you need someone who's able to do the feasibility and investment specialties, which is something that I do. Or you also need a lender to partner with. So those are like the key types of players that you need when you're going into a deal. So when you're going to these different types of conferences, it's really about finding who does what and what are our synergies and how can we work together to get a deal done.
Cool, man. This interview was so informational. I learned a lot. I hope somebody out there was inspired. And like you said, we gotta, you know, once we all get out of this COVID situation, wherever in the world you have hotels and stuff, we're going. So, you know, we're telling everybody for sure. Okay, so I'm gonna just wrap it up here and go to the last segment, which is the Fabulous Four. Okay. It's just four questions that I ask everybody. So just, you know, whatever comes to mind off the top of your head, go for it. So the first question is, what is your favorite real estate book?
I think my favorite real estate book is People's Principles. It's a book by Don Peebles. He was one of the first Black hotel owners in Miami Beach. And he really just goes through how he got a lot of his first few deals done. And part of that really made me realize that I don't have to have or be a millionaire in order to invest in a hotel. But investing in a hotel is more so cooperative economics, where there's a group of us going in, and maybe we each have, you know, a little bit of money, and we put that together and it makes something big. So that's what I learned from his book. And that book really made me realize, like, oh, okay, I can do this. I don't have to come from this big wealthy family. I just have to know a couple people that have something, and, you know, we can get it done. So that book was really helpful for me, learning how he went through his first, you know, few major deals, both in DC and in Miami.
Oh, yes, this collective economics is definitely the wave right now. I'm glad that a lot of people are starting to open their eyes and realize, like, to get big goals and achieve big things, you got to put yourself to, you know, work together, because just one person, you can do a lot, but you can do so much more if you have a team. So for sure. Right. That's awesome. Yeah. So, okay. Then the second question is, what advice would you give to your younger self just getting started out within this field?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I would tell myself to be bold. I think that's where a lot of, you know, the high profile real estate developers or investors, they don't really have any secret sauce or any, you know, super special qualities. They're not always, you know, the most smartest person in the world, but they are bold. They go after what they want, and, you know, they don't take no for an answer. They really put themselves out there. And that's what makes the difference in this sort of industry. It's walking with, you know, boldness. It's knowing what you want and completely going after it relentlessly.
I love that advice. I love being bold and just going for it. Like, you got to swing. It's better to go out swinging than to go out looking, for sure. Exactly. Cool. So the third question is, what topic in real estate do you personally want to learn more about?
I want to learn more about different types of financing. So, for example, EB-5 financing, or, you know, just different ways that we can finance projects that also help someone else in the process. So I definitely want to continue learning about different ways to get projects done instead of just leaning on the traditional debt leverage that many people see by going to a big or major bank and just taking out a traditional loan.
Can you elaborate? What is EB-5 financing? What does that mean?
So EB-5, what it incorporates is someone from a country outside of the U.S. who wants to invest in. By that investing, they also want to move and live in the U.S. permanently. So it helps them to be able to get a visa if they're creating a certain amount of jobs. So there's a lot of people in different countries who, you know, want to live in the U.S. for whatever reason it may be. And one of the ways that they can do that is by creating a business in the U.S. that's going to give back to a certain community. So usually the requirements are that, you know, you have to invest a certain amount of money, and with whatever it is that you're investing, that development has to provide a certain amount of jobs for local people in that area. So I think that that's a great way to be able to work with someone else in pursuing their dreams of living in the U.S. as someone who is a child of immigrants. Like, I always support that. But then also the job creation is something that's very important to me, because that's another way that, you know, people need an income. Just being able to kind of kill two birds with one stone and get projects done.
No, that's dope. That's the first time I ever heard of that. I got to do more research, but that sounds like amazing opportunity on all sides. So that's very dope. Okay. So the last one is to please give a shout out to another woman that's doing amazing things in real estate right now.
All right. My shout out goes to Gina Merritt. She's in the DC, Baltimore area. And her company is NREUV. And what they're doing is also more so commercial real estate projects in your traditional commercial, which can be multifamily, office, things of that sort. But they're also doing programs based in Baltimore to help people get jobs. So doing, you know, interviewing practices, really going through and being the liaison between whether it be a government job and someone who's just trying to get back into the workforce. So they're doing a great job of both real estate development, but from a social impact side, helping people get job opportunities that they've been seeking.
Amazing. Shout out to Gina. That's some wonderful work that you're doing. So keep it up. That's amazing. Cool. So how can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about it, if they want to, you know, kind of get mentored by you and figure out how they can own their own hotel, everything you have going on, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, everyone can get in touch with me through a few different ways. My website is elisecap.com. On there, it will have, you know, to be able to schedule a meeting with me, or my email is in there too. On Instagram, I'm also elisecap. On Facebook, we're Elise Capital, and LinkedIn is Elise Capital as well.
All right, cool. Any last words that you want to leave for the audience here?
I guess I would just encourage everyone that, you know, these types of opportunities, while they look big on the outside, they're definitely possible by, you know, going in with a good and strong group and team. So I just want to make sure that everyone remembers to be encouraged in getting into investments, because it is a great way to generate wealth and help us to close those both racial and gender wealth gaps that are very present in the U.S. today.
Amen. You know, we're all about it. So thank you. Thank you so much. Like I said, I learned a lot from this conversation. I hope a lot of people out there will do the same and get inspired and, you know, kind of open their eyes to what's possible out there. So I'm looking forward to, you know, hopefully invest in some with you as well. And like I said, take that trip and everything in between. So appreciate you for taking this time. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me. Let's get these deals done.
Yes, ma'am. All right, cool. All right, so again, this is an episode of Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. I'm your host, Jessica Washington. Thank you again for my guest, Kendra Plummer. She's the founder of Elise Capital, Hotel Acquisitions and Asset Management, Black-owned, woman-owned business. So definitely check her out. And then we'll see you guys on the next episode. Thank you.